Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House in Baton Rouge, 2572 City Place Court. They have 136 draft beers. They have a 50-foot TV. They have late-night menu till 2 a.m. You're like 4 weeks out from football, man. And you got Premier League Soccer starting the second week of August. If you want to get up early, go there for breakfast or whatever. I'm sure they can accommodate
Newcastle.
You. Newcastle. So,
They're in the championship, so whatever.
They got demoted. Everton! We're going to finish mid-table again. So, the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. You can go to there tonight, watch Alex Bregman. He got promoted for the Astros. He's playing third base, doing awesome. They're awesome, the Pelican House. You should support them because they support us. Saints had distressing news right before the podcast. Teron Armstead is on the PUP list. Andrew, this is bad for a couple of reasons. First, he's probably like the second most important player the Saints have besides Drew Brees. But also, with Cat Terrell moving on to bigger and better things away from NOLA.com, we won't have a media member that's strong enough and tough enough to pester Sean Payton right off the bat with injury questions. She used to do that. She used to go right in. She had no fear. And I don't know, like, are we going to get updates about it now? I don't know.
Yeah, who's going to be the person that's like, Sean, I'm sorry I have to ask this, but you know, anybody injured? So we'll see. I mean, there's a couple new guys. You know, maybe that'll develop into some new personalities. You never know. But, yeah, the Teron Armstead stuff is concerning. I mean, Mike Triplett came out and said via a source, hashtag sources, that – that the injury is not something to be concerned about. So hopefully that will resolve itself quickly and he'll be back. The main thing that this opens up, the can of worms, so to speak, that makes me really intrigued is all of a sudden you have this hole at left tackle. And how do you go about addressing it in practice? And I feel like, you know, the obvious answer here is if you're going to miss Armstead for any length of time, then you put Andres Pete at left tackle. It makes sense. But the problem is you're trying to develop him at guard. And in a perfect world, we picture Armstead being healthy at left tackle. And Andres Pete's going to need those reps. He's going to need to develop at guard. And ideally, if he's going to end up playing guard, you want him getting all the reps at that position in training camp to be ready when the season starts. And so now it's like, do you keep Pete at guard in practice and let him develop there and put an even lesser guy at left tackle?
Who would be the left tackle?
Man, I don't know. I mean,
Tony Hill, is he still on the team?
No, he's not. No. I mean, you could do Senio Kelemete, who played left tackle. So, I mean, the big question is he going to start at guard? He's in a battle with Lolito, most likely, for the other spot. So, I guess for now, it's him.
Now, was Armstead placed on PUP designated to return, or is he on PUP where he's, like, missing the first?
That, you're confusing that with IR. When you start on PUP, it just means that you're on a reserve until you start practicing. So, when you're on PUP, you can return at any time in training.
Right,
camp.
And IR designated a return is what, after the first 6 weeks you can come back, or 8 weeks?
Yeah. Although that rule's changed. So it's the rule for that is after week six, they can say, okay, he's returning, at which point you go back to practice but you're not available to play. Yeah, for 2 weeks, and then you're not until the after week eight. Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So, but the new rule states you don't have to designate that guy anymore. You can just like whenever week six comes, you just pick one guy off your IR, but it can be any one of the guys.
Kevin,
that's the new rule. So you don't have to enter the season designating a guy anymore.
Kevin, when do you and me start to panic in the preseason about Teron Armstead not practicing or playing in games? Like, when do we panic? Like week two, week three in the game two, game three in the preseason. When do we start to panic?
Okay. So because Sean Payton apparently didn't give enough specifics as to what Teron Armstead's problem is with his knee injury, I decided to do a little detective work on my own. I went to ye old webmd.com, marvelous resource here that we have in the 21st century, and I typed in a bunch of symptoms that Teron Armstead has or seems to have or may have. I don't know, because again, Sean Payton is mysterious. He's like,
honest,
like a dagger in European count.
But we know it's a knee.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Teron Armstead could have one of the following 35 injuries: an ACL knee injury, bursitis, repetitive motion injuries, the gout, tendonitis, dislocated knee,
like
stress fracture, a posterior cruciate ligament injury, bursitis again.
Ooh,
oh no, that was tendonitis before. Rheumatic fever, sickle cell, a knee meniscus tear. Knee strain.
Spanish flu.
Psoriatic arthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis. Pseudo gout. I guess that's not really the gout, but kind of.
You think you have gout, but you really don't.
I'm hoping for that. Pseudo gout. Sounds good.
Chondromalacia patella. Insect bites. Insect sting. Lupus. Lyme disease. Patellofemoral pain syndrome. Sickle cell disease. Sporotrichosis.
That sounds like a Star Trek. Sporotrichosis. Like Kirk has got the sporotrichosis.
Is Zika
a chemical burn? Obesity, osteochondritis, desiccans, Hinox, Schonlein, Purpura.
You get 3 to 5.
Poison ivy, oak or sumac, shingles, Crohn's disease.
So, doctor,
sarcoidosis. Ulcerative colitis.
What does that have to do with your knee?
Now I feel like
I have no fucking idea. Hey, listen, man, are you going to argue with WebMD?
Dr. Hell, can you give us a diagnosis?
And, oh wait, hang on a second. I'm sorry, I forgot the last one. Cancer.
Oh, that's it.
Cancer.
It says he's
probably got cancer.
Yeah.
You've listed every ailment that resides within the Achilles tendon of Junior Gallette.
No, what does Crohn's disease have to do with your knees?
A lot, Dave. You're going to question Dr. Held? Are you on WebMD?
No.
I don't think you are.
Hey, look, listen. I watched Trapper John MD when I was a child growing up. I am qualified to search WebMD.
That dude that lived in the trailer in the parking lot was totally cool.
But, Kevin, did you sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night?
No, I did not.
So, before we
Did you sleep at your lady's place last night?
Ooh.
No, I fell asleep on my couch and just woke up like about an hour ago.
With your dog licking your face?
So.
No, my dog was just sleeping at my feet.
With your dog licking your balls?
No, he's actually chewing on his toy right now.
This got weird.
Until you put peanut butter on your balls.
But now it's not weird at all.
No, it's not. So before we get to the most overrated Saints player, Junior Gallette, Andrew, continues to give us podcast topics long after his exit from New Orleans.
Always in the off season, which is really thoughtful of him. I appreciate him giving us topics when it's really bare.
He blew out the other Achilles.
Yeah, that's brutal. I can only think of one in my 35 years of watching. Well, we'll say 20.
In my 35 years.
Yeah, let's say my 29 years of following football. I can only recall one guy ever tearing both Achilles in back-to-back seasons, And that was Cam Cleland, the tight end of the
Saints. Oh, Cam Cleland. He's the – on the all
– how'd that end up for him?
Came back from the second one.
When we do the all right, exactly. When we do the all-injured Saints bracket, Cam Cleland is a number one seed.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, he's a number one. He's a number one seed. He got injured. He got beat up with a sack of coins. I mean, poor Cam Cleland.
So
Junior Gallette is,
and then he
definitely...
and then he pulled a dead man out of a car or something.
Junior Gallette is definitely proof that that karma does in fact exist. But I thought it was funny though, because on Twitter he posted. Did you guys see the video he posted? I guess it was supposed to be. It was a video of him practicing and just doing reps without pads on. And
I guess he was just showing everyone how recovered he was before he got injured again.
Yeah,
I thought he was supposed to. I thought it was him showing him when he actually got injured. I thought they actually got it on film because the video was attached to a tweet that was like some, not in these words, but it was, you know, kind of like, I can't catch a break. And he said something like, when is the rain going to stop? you know, kind of like, you know, like, when is this going to end? That was his. That was how he was. That was his metaphor that he was using for how miserable his life is. And it was funny because I kind of remember the replies, and some dude was like, "When you stop beating women and own up to your shit."
So Kevin, here's the million-dollar question with Junior Gallette. Now that he's going to have more time to spend on social media,
when
does he Periscope? Mickey, send me the check. Is it before the season opener or after?
I hope after.
The Saints play after. The Redskins again this year?
No, they play.
Too bad.
Oh, poor Junior. So Junior, thanks for giving us just more jokes on jokes on jokes. So
wait. Wait, hang on. I got a real quick one. Hang on.
Yeah, there you go.
Radiohead coming out of a Burger King drive-thru speaker. Classic.
There we go.
Classic happy hour. So me and Andrew got into a, I wouldn't say it was a argument. It was more like a discussion. About
more like a pillow fight.
Because Pete Prisco
tickle fight.
Pete Prisco did a column of the most overrated player for each team, and he did Jarris Bird. And Jarris Bird is just a lazy pick of the most overrated Saints, because nobody is going into the year thinking Jarris Bird is some great safety. He's been injured. He's a shell of his former self. Like, nobody thinks that
he's the starting safety for the Saints, though.
But nobody is like, Jarris Bird, he's been really good for the Saints, and he's not.
Was a star for the Bills, and I mean, based on the contract that they gave him, they obviously felt like he was.
But he's
the best safety ever.
But I don't view him as overrated in a sense of he's not a player where Saints fans have really high expectations going into this year and they're totally insane.
I don't really think it's a fan based thing though. I think it's either like the team overvalues them or the media does. And I don't think it has much to do with fans.
I don't think that's a good I don't think he's a good choice. My choice for the Saints was Ellerbe, in that fans have this notion that when Ellerbe plays, everything is cured on the defense, because in the quarter and a half he played in 2015, they were
but last season, I mean, wasn't that the case though? I mean, wasn't that true?
I mean, he's a lot better than like garbage, which is the rest of the linebackers, not Anthony.
But I mean, but like last season when he played, wasn't the defense better? I mean, I'm not saying it was because of him. It could have just been
randomness,
pure coincidence.
Yeah. I'm not going to name names, but there were Saints fans that referred to Ellerbe as elite and top tier.
He's played when healthy. He's played more than 10 games one time. But so he was my choice. But Andrew, who would be your choice for most overrated Saints? Would you agree that it was? Would you agree that it was Bird, or is it somebody else?
I mean, again, my question would be, are we talking about fans? Because then, I mean, if we're talking fans...
Yes, we're talking about fans. I don't care about national media that are lazy.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think I would definitely put... I just think every year there's young players that fans just become fascinated with. I mean, Nick Toon used to be that guy. And I just think there's guys that we haven't even seen yet. Like, we haven't seen them on the field. We have no idea what kind of contribution we're going to give to the team. And fans are ready to put them in the Pro Bowl. And, you know, this year it's like P.J. Williams. Everyone thinks he's ready to be a starter over Keenan Lewis. And
P.J. Wilson. I mean, P.J. Williams' stock is high.
I hope he's great, but I mean, I would just love to see him play one game ever before
he's not
we
even, he
declare
even
him a starter.
Game. He hasn't even played in a preseason game.
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, the stock on P.J. Williams is really high. Man, in terms of overrated, I mean, Laurinaitis, maybe.
And Dave, Dave, do you have an overrated guy for the Saints?
No, I agree with, I hate to say it, but I agree with Pete Prisco.
Nah. Kevin, do you
that's
agree
it,
with Pete,
that's
Pete
it.
Prisco too?
I'm never saying that ever again.
I don't think I would agree with Pete Prisco if he told me it's night outside right now.
You'd be like, where?
All right. Well, I'll throw three names out there, and I want you guys to tell me. I'll give you one each. You tell me overrated or underrated. Okay. I'll start with you, Dave. Kobe Fleener.
I would say neither.
Properly rated.
Yeah, properly rated.
Even though they paid him an enormous amount of money. You think he's worth the money he was paid?
I'm starting to think that he's going to be Breeze's number one target. I think he's going to have a crazy amount of catches and yardage.
Sounds like you're overrating him.
Andrew, who you got for
No,
you?
I don't. But see, that's the thing is, I think that he's going to live up to that. So he's
okay,
not
fair enough.
All right.
Okay, well, we need to see him play with the Saints first, so that's fair.
Of course.
All right, I didn't give this one to Dave, and in a minute you'll understand why as soon as I say his name, actually. Ralph, this one's for you. Mark Ingram, overrated or underrated?
Dave's boyfriend?
Yes.
He's overrated because people forget that.
He didn't make a Pro Bowl.
Because people forget that he's injured all the time. So he's overrated by Saints. People forget that he's never made it through a year without getting hurt. So I think he's overrated.
All right. This one's for you, Kevin. Kenny Vaccaro.
Oh,
overrated or underrated?
I'm going to say slightly overrated.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So
I would venture of those three, I mean, I like Vaccaro. I don't want to dog the guy, but
I'm tempted to say
Vaccaro. I'm tempted to say Vaccaro is the most overrated.
Thing is, when you pick a safety at that spot, that high in the draft, like they got to be really good. And Kenny Vaccaro is just
exactly
Kenny Vaccaro is kind of he's okay. He's not a bust. Which
he had a great rookie year and then a disaster sophomore year, and then last year, I mean, we think he was good, but he was still on the worst secondary of all time.
Yeah.
So
by 20%,
right.
Right.
All right. So before we get, we're gonna get to the worst Saints quarterback round two. We have a ton of Twitter questions, but we'll get to the worst Saints quarterback tournament. People got excited about that on Twitter. They were firing stuff up. Me and Andrew have been texting back and forth. So round two, number one seed Heath Shuler, number 17 Danny Werfel. Kevin, who you got?
I'm gonna pick Shuler.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Hello?
I gotta go Shuler as well. But I mean, it's so. I mean, maybe I'm just. It's weird. The things I remember about Danny Werfel are I remember him beating Peyton Manning, and I remember his helmet being on backwards and getting just destroyed by the 49ers. Like, so I don't have like a negative connotation of Werfel, but like Heath Shuler, like I have a visceral like the hate like. Bubbles up in my mouth. So, Andrew, who you got?
Well, here's the thing I'm going to say. I mean, I'm going to vote for Shuler as well, but this is closer than you think. And the main reason I say that is the Saints had both of these guys at the same time.
Yeah.
And Werfel was so bad when he replaced Shuler that they went back to Shuler at one point.
I forgot about that.
So I'm just saying, like, I'm going with Shuler here, but we can't forget that it was so miserable and horrible having Werfel as their starter that they actually tried Shuler again for a while.
Dave, who you got?
I'm gonna sounds like awful. I'll go with Werfel.
So what is it, 3-1? Does Shuler go through?
What did Kevin pick Shuler?
Yeah.
Okay.
3-1.
So Andrew, number 8, Bobby Douglas. Number 9, Doug Nussmeier.
Ooh, that's tough. I mean, Nussmeier to me is one of the truly most horrible Saints quarterbacks I've ever seen in person. But you know, the stats don't really back it up because it was such a small body of work that Douglas played more games. You know, he was bad for a longer stretch. So, they both didn't play much. Douglas played 8 starts, was 3-5. Nussmeier was 0-2, I believe. So, I'm going to go with Nussmeier.
Yeah, I'm going to go Nuss. I'm going to go Nussmeier too, because the thing is, like, Bobby Douglas, he's so long ago, it's like it never happened. I remember Nussmeier, and he was awful. Dicka didn't even trust him to hand off in overtime of a game, and they just kicked a 42-yard field goal instead of letting him run it even a single play. Kevin, who you got?
I'm going to take Bobby Douglas.
No. So, Dave.
Interesting. Nussmeier.
Oh, so Nussmeier goes through. All right. Dave, Ken Stabler, the 4 seed, Kerry Collins, the 20 seed.
I'd probably go with Stabler.
Well, they were both drunks. Ken Stabler, dude, in the 19, he looked like a homeless dude when he played for the Saints. Like, he looked like he crawled out of a box and would put on his uniform. Like, so, but Kevin, who you got, Stabler or Kerry Collins?
I'll say Stabler.
Andrew?
Stabler. Yeah, Stabler,
yeah,
for me.
Stabler was bad. Stabler, his overall record isn't terrible, but man, in 83, he had some bad games, like I was saying last week. Like, he just, I mean, personally responsible for like 3 of those losses.
Kerry Collins only played about half a season for the Saints, and he was kind of in the middle of a mediocre playoff run. Like, they had an outside chance of getting a wild card with Collins, so he was okay.
Yeah. Kevin, this one's fun. Number 5, Billy Joe Tolliver. Number 12, Richard Todd.
Dick Todd.
Oh, Dick Todd was so bad. Oh, I remember listening to Henderson and Archie call games on the radio back in the day when they had Dick Todd at quarterback, and it just turned into like Archie just being sad and Jim Henderson just cracking jokes in the second half. So I'm gonna go Dick Todd. They gave up a number 1 pick for Dick Todd, by the way. Andrew, who you got?
I'm just gonna point out career record here. Tolliver for me is a dark horse to win it all. I mean, he would be in the mix for worst ever, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Tolliver, 2-9 career quarterback record and 11 starts. He lost 9 games. Richard Todd is a respectable 6-8 in Saints history. In the time and the era where Dick Todd played, I mean, 6-8 is, I mean, that might as well be Drew Brees at that point.
I feel like I remember Dick Todd being much worse.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, he was bad. But, my pick is Todd Oliver.
Dave?
I think Andrew's got a point there. Oh. I think you got to go with Tolliver.
Ooh, fire that out on Twitter. We got a 2-2.
All right. Well, I got to do this bracket, so somebody else do the twitting.
Kevin, fire that out.
Who am I saying?
Who's worse, Billy Joe
Tolliver
or Dick Todd?
You know, fans are gonna gravitate towards a Billy Joe there. Yeah. For sure.
This sounds like a Mid-South wrestling card here. Carl Sweeten, number two. Ronnie Lee South. Carl Sweeten is bad, man. Ronnie Lee, I didn't even. Lee Sweeten, he's mentioned in like the Who Dat history book, so I kind of knew his name. Like Ronnie Lee, I don't even know who the fuck that is. So I'm going.
Yeah, I think he South played a couple games and was bad, but Sweeten again. I mean, how could he not be a dark horse to win it at all? He holds the record for worst completion percentage by a QB that started a game. He started three of them. He was winless. He was 0-2-1 in three starts. Completed 34.6% of his passes, which is dead last in the history of the Saints. Nine interceptions.
Ronnie Lee South only completed 36.8 of his passes.
Well, that's better. That's better than Sweeten.
How many?
And his QB rating was 12.6. Worst
Andrew,
ever
Andrew,
for a quarterback that started a game.
What was his interception percentage? How many passes did he throw?
11%. 11.5% of his passes were
intercepted.
So
his completion percentage was only – his completion percentage was 33% and his interception rate was 11%. That's
almost 12%.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Kevin, who you got?
We only have 78 attempts to work with in this.
He had 78 attempts. 27 Simple. Were caught by his own teammates, and 9 were caught by the other team.
Oh my goodness!
All right, we got a response.
Who do we got?
Billy Joe.
No. Oh.
Billy Joe from the Afrocentric Asian. He came by and said, "Billy Joe." And in parentheses, I have no idea who Richard Lee is. So, he means Richard Todd.
All right.
Well, there you go, right there.
Dave,
thank
who you?
You. Dave, thank you, Afrocentric Asian.
Dave, nice. Who you got?
Man, this is tough. I think I'm looking at the same stats that Andrew's looking at. Ronnie Lee South never actually started a game. He only played in 4 games, and he didn't start any of them. All right, I guess I'll go with Carl Sweeten. Sweeten.
I will also go with Sweeten.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to argue that Sweeten is the statistically the worst Saints quarterback of all time.
But the argument against him, of course, is you get into sample size. Here we go.
Right.
This is 26 seed John Forcade and number 10 Ed Hargett. I softened on Forcade because I did a little research. And Forcade, yeah, he kind of wrecked the franchise. If he just would have stunk when they benched Hebert wouldn't have held out and they wouldn't have had to give up the 1, 2, and 3 for Walsh, maybe. But Forcade, he played really great those last 3 games. He played terrible in a Monday night game where they lost to San Francisco in a heartbreak. He played terrible. The Saints were just mentally destroyed. They got just obliterated by Minnesota. That was back when Minnesota just owned the Saints. But the third game he played against Atlanta, he played really well. The Saints ended up losing, and then they traded for Walsh, and they put Walsh right in as the starter. So 4K wasn't, like, terrible, and you could looking back at it, you could kind of argue that, like, the Saints maybe they shouldn't have panicked and traded for Walsh. They maybe should have just stuck with 4K. They'd have been better off. Ed Hargett is garbage, and I'm going to vote for him. Andrew, explain why he's garbage.
Well, Hargett's one game in 7 starts. Again, a completion percentage under 50%. He was another one of those guys in the late 60s and early 70s where it was just a QB carousel, and the Saints kept trying different guys, and they were all horrible. And Hargett was one of them. With 4K, he's one of, I think, 5 quarterbacks ever in Saints history to have a winning record. Drew Brees, of course, Bobby Hebert, Steve Walsh was 10-9, Jeff Blake, and 4K. 4K was 7-4 as a starter.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, because of the replacement games. They went 2-1.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think 4K should have beaten Bobby Scott, and I'm definitely not voting for him here, so I vote for Hargett.
Kevin, who you got?
I will go Hargett.
Dave, who you got?
As worse, Hargett, definitely. 4K's got decent numbers. Yeah, and decent numbers.
The snow game is one of the fun all-time Saints, fun moments. Like, I wouldn't say it's like a classic top 10 or whatever moment, but that game in the snow where he was running all over the place, making throws and shit, it was fun. All right, now we got the number 3 seed, who I wanted to be seated higher, Gary Quazzo, number 14, Larry Sippa. And me and Andrew were texting Sunday morning, and Andrew gave me another bullet for me to fire for Quazzo being the worst. They traded a number 1 pick. The number 1 overall pick in the 67 draft would ended up being Bubba Smith, a rock solid. Is Bubba Smith in the Hall of Fame?
I think he is.
He is. He was the cornerstone.
I mean, he was certainly a stud on a Super Bowl winning team.
He was the best player. He was the best player on a team that won a Super Bowl because of defense. And the Saints, instead of taking him, they traded with the Colts for Gary Quazzo. And Gary Quazzo was so fucking terrible. He couldn't even start the first game in Saints history. That was Kilmer. That's how bad Quazzo was. I mean, Quazzo, his sample size is small because he sucked. But my God, they gave up the first overall pick for him. And just basically, like, it's like if the Saints were a ship leaving port on their inaugural journey, it's like they hit the dock and, like, put a gaping hole in the ship. I mean, it's Quazzo. No, Kevin, who you got?
I am voting Gary Quazzo. How dare the Saints pass up on Hightower?
Please. Andrew, who you got?
Quazzo, without a doubt.
Dave.
I would go with Sippa, to be quite honest with you. Quazzo started 10 games for the Saints, and he went 3-7. I mean, obviously, that's not very good, but Sippa went 1-2. And Sippa, meanwhile, has a basement 36.4 completion percentage. Quazzo's got at least a 51.5 completion percentage, and he threw 7 touchdowns. Now he threw 12 interceptions. Sippa threw 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions. It was so early for the Saints. They were terrible right out of the box, and they weren't going to be good for another 20 years. So, you wanted to forget about Bobby Charles because it was so long ago. I feel like you have to give Quazzo the same respect. So I'm going to go with Sippa.
All right, number 6, Dave Wilson. Number 22, Mark Brunell. Dave Wilson, another guy they picked in the supplemental draft, gave up a number 1 pick for, and he was terrible. But he was a backup.
He was first overall in the supplemental draft.
He was a backup quarterback for the Saints for a long time, though. I feel like with Mark Brunell, like, he was just – he did a good job holding that kick for Hartley in the NFC Championship game. I mean, like, I'll vote Dave.
I'm with you. I think Brunell gets a pass. I mean, he has a Super Bowl ring, and he was kind of a – advisor and, you know, in the team meetings with Breeze, and, you know, who knows that he, I mean, Brunell was a guy with tons of experience, and I think he was probably a good guy to have around for Breeze, even though Breeze was a veteran. Dave Wilson, like you said, they pick him in the supplemental draft, first pick overall, which cost them a first round the following year. And I think the thing that kills me with Wilson is he was just around forever. The same, and you know, this was during the infancy really of my fanhood, but I remember him, and I just remember asking my parents, like, when are they going to freaking get rid of this guy? He was a backup every year. And it was unbelievable.
He played almost the entire 86 season with Jim Mora's first year because Hebert broke his foot.
But that was really the only year he started an extensive amount. Otherwise, it was like spot starts.
Yeah.
But he was with the team for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And he was terrible.
You know, he was. Kevin, who you got?
Say those.
Dave Wilson, Mark Brunell.
Oh, Dave Wilson. Dave Wilson.
What's the biggest comeback in Saints history? I feel like Dave Wilson might have been a part of it.
Oh, God.
because they were down 28-7 at Cincinnati, and they came back and won with him at quarterback.
How do you remember that?
I just remember weird. I can't remember my anniversary, but I can remember weird Saints games from 1987.
I remember a lot of teams having ridiculous comebacks on the Saints.
In best comeback, you could argue the Dolphins game in the 09 season.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Redskins, too.
I was just talking, like, points-wise down. So that finishes up round two now. So we're down to the Elite Eight, and these are some good matchups here. We got Heath Shuler, Doug Mosemeyer, Ken Stabler, Billy Joe Tolliver, Carl Sweeten, Ed Hargett, Gary Quazzo, Dave Wilson. I mean, that is some suck-ass quarterbacks. All right, so we have a ton of questions. This is from Jay Landry, Kevin. If the Saints make the playoffs or a deep run to the Super Bowl, what kind of contract does Breeze get?
The Saints basically give him I think the Saints should just offer him a stake in the team.
the GDP of Iceland. Andrew, this is from Dylan. I'm a horrible person. Were you delighted to hear about Junior's injury?
Man, I mean, with Junior, those things where I never root for a player to get injured, and especially, I mean, two Achilles is just awful. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. You know, if I'm never going to say someone deserves it, but I will definitely say I feel the least sorry I have ever felt for a guy to get injured. And, you know, I think really it's the social media stuff last off season.
Well,
here's
a question from Robert. Seeing as we paid Junior so much, Kevin, do you think we could use him for spare parts, maybe an ACL for Kikaha?
I wouldn't take Junior Gillette for spare parts because he'd want to be compensated for that. I don't feel like he should be putting another dime into that man's bank account.
I don't want a single tendon off his body in the locker room.
Dave, do you think the second Achilles injury will affect Junior's belt swing?
Oh, jeez.
Depends on which leg it was in. If it's in his planting leg, yeah.
That's brutal.
See, I would have preferred carpal tunnel. I would have preferred carpal tunnel. It would have affected his interneting ability.
Here's a great question from Dylan. What would make you more intrigued? Roger Goodell getting fired or Putin leaking Hillary's 33,000 emails off her server that he has? That's a tough one for me because Goodell getting fired, the joy that would leak out from Sean Payton when they asked him at the press conference and Drew Brees would just be phenomenal. Like, Sean Payton would probably suppress it and I don't know. Kevin, that's a great question. I feel like there's like a 25% chance that Sean Payton would like dance on Goodell's grave because he cost that man $8 million. Like, you don't get over that.
I don't know if Sean Payton would, think he would. He would make a couple of like lame dad jokes about it and then not worry about getting fined. Like, I think that's Sean Payton's idea of busting loose is he would just bust out some just like lame, like very like level one type jokes, maybe crack a smile and chuckle about it. Reporters would have an awkward laugh about it. And then he would just be like, I'm just looking forward to seeing who they get as the next commissioner, and hopefully it'll be somebody who's a little bit more reasonable and blah, 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 blah. And then we'd all just kind of like, all right. Yeah. And then we would just continue our own celebration.
Yeah, I feel like he always takes
Roger
the high
Goodell
road
being gone.
On stuff like
man,
that.
Man, but that'd be a chance. $8 million, man. Drew Brees might not. Drew Brees says some pretty harsh things about Goodell.
Sean Payton never takes the bait on stuff like that.
Yeah. Putin. 2016, a Russian oligarch is going to decide the United States race for president. Get excited.
I mean, I think there's a higher percent chance that Sean Payton would go nuts on the reporter asking him the question.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hunt, this is from Hunter. Andrew, who's the shocking cut this year, and who's the shocker that makes the team?
That's tough. I'm going to say the shocking – I mean, is Ellerbe a shocking cut? Does that qualify?
No, it could be. If he's not playing by week two of the preseason, he's getting cut.
Yeah, I'll say either Ellerbe or Brandon Coleman. I'd say those are two possible shocking cuts. Shocking guy that makes the team. I will go with Chris Manhertz, the tight end.
Kevin, who will win a triple threat match between Junior Gallette, Billy Joe Hulbert, and Willie Rolfe?
That's a lot of bad Achilles tendons.
That is.
Yeah, that's.
They don't have two good ones between the three of them.
Well, I tell you what, since we all know that Junior Gallette at least has a weapon available to him and knows how to use it, I'll give Junior Gallette the nod.
Yeah, Dave, the likelihood that
#body bag.
This is from Alfredo. This is from Alfredo, Dave. The likelihood that Pokemon Go will result in some Saint player getting fined for breaking curfew at the Greenbrier.
It might be responsible for them like tripping over something and getting injured and ending their season.
Oh God.
The Scott Fujita injury.
Could you imagine?
Wait till
the first NFL players injured playing Pokemon Go.
Some asshole.
It's going to be awesome.
Some asshole asked, "Will the podcast audio work?" I blocked them. # huge. God damn it, that's just wrong. Will Mickey make Gallette jump to get his check?
How high?
We can't jump at all because he doesn't have any Achilles tendons. JJ asks, Kevin, I'm staring into the void contemplating a 6-10 season. Should I turn and walk into the light?
I mean, how old are you? I mean, if you're over 50, I don't know, maybe consider turning and walking into the light. If not, hang around a little longer. You're still young.
Here, Alita's Sicko asks, which is better, Junior Gallette's injury or Bernie Bros poo-pooing at the DNC? Kevin, you want to take that one?
I think the whole Bernie Bro thing is just, that's so just goddamn stupid. It's like, look, the guy lost. Yeah, did people want to see him win? No, people didn't want to fucking see him win. They didn't want to see him win. And yeah, it's shitty that he lost, and I get that you're pissed, but if you really claim to be, you know, a member of that party, then you kind of have to vote for What's-Her-Face. And if you don't want to vote for What's-Her-Face, and look, I'm trying to keep this as non-political as possible, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't want to vote for What's-Her-Face, but you don't want to vote for Pumpkin Face... Then vote for the guy from out west, and you know, try and help a third party get that percentage
10% so they get matching funds. Yeah,
right.
Dave, this is from Andrew Platt. Bigger year, Bird or Spiller, and don't you dare push.
Spiller.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
The only push that's acceptable in this podcast is if we are referencing the novel by Sapphire.
I don't get that.
Spiller could be a
God damn it, Dave.
Spiller could be a surprise cut in the preseason, maybe.
Ooh, that would be brutal. My God, they do have a lot of running backs, though.
They do. So that about wraps it up for tonight's podcast. You can go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got all kinds of fun stuff. Didn't you just do worst Saint ever? I thought I saw that. Maybe I was.
I thought we did that.
It was like an article on there. We did.
Kevin,
we did
can you like take the phone away from your mouth?
Who?
You.
Oh, well, I'm holding it with my ear right now because I'm kind of like, I'm drying off my,
Don't finish that sentence. Don't finish it.
Yeah. Drying off my plate.
Dave has actual news at the top of the Canal Street Chronicles. Armstead, Lewis. Lewis is on the pup, too. Jesus. Keenan Lewis is the Eric Gordon
of
the Saints.
Jarris Bird is not on the PUP.
If you had that,
that's true.
Come to the window, that's collect true. Your winnings. The Vinny's, the Patriots signed future Hall of Famer Vinny Sinceri. Also, we didn't get to that, but whatever. So you can go there, get all that on Canal Street Chronicles. You can go to Saints Nation. You can find Kevin on the Twitters. Kevin and me like to talk politics. Fair warning, if you make inappropriate jokes, death threats, or anything that you wouldn't say to your mother, you're going to get blocked, okay? I'm just saying it, you know? I try to be nice to you people.
Hey, didn't something happen to Brandon Browner?
Oh,
wasn't he in the news for hitting a woman or something?
Yeah, he was. Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, some asshole thing he did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Between him and Gillette, like the most hated former Saints, they've been doing a good job
strong.
Yeah, this offseason of karma payback.
So, oh, and by the way, thanks to everybody for joining our fantasy leagues. They are full. If we get any dropouts, we'll let you know. But our fantasy auction league is filled up. Our snake league is filled up. Thanks for everybody for playing. It's going to be fun. Me and Kevin are going to be reckless and dumb during the auction draft.
I have one request. When we do these leagues, can we all go by either our regular names or our Twitter names? Because when these people make up like Breeze to Shockey or whatever, I have no idea who you are, and it makes it less fun.
My thing was going to be $32 for Ben Tate was going to be my team name. but anyway, so for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, until next week, the bar is closed.
Please, please work. Please have recorded. I gave Brian way too much shit for this not to work.